This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Gracious God, may your word so enlighten us that we will be ablaze not only to be found by you, but so that we might be a light unto others. And we pray in the name of him who is our light, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Good morning. It is officially fall season. There are some indications of this. Our youth who traveled to Orlando to get tossed and turned on rides at Universal Studios, came back at 5 this morning, and here they are in our midst here today. But there are other indications for me when fall is here, and one of them is this. When I finish at the church, especially on weekends, I just need to veg out for a while, and I will sit in my nice easy chair and get the remote and start clicking. And I know it's fall when I click and it's football, 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 PBS, football. You can go out, and even here at St. Joseph's School, after school is finished at 3 o'clock, you see the different sports teams who are out there practicing and getting ready as their season begins. The high schools in the area you pass by, and they are practicing. I go to the gym early 2 days out of the week, and when I'm arriving there these days at 5 a.m., there's a bunch of high school football players who are leaving on their way to get ready for school. And I look at them and I say, "Are you crazy?" And they look at me and say, "Well, are you crazy, mister? You're here at 5 a.m. But they tell me that coach tells them they need to be stronger so that they'll be ready and be able to make it for the long haul through the season. And so they want to be the best that they can be on their team. And so that's what they're about. Now, I think we understand that when it comes to sports. But perhaps we need to understand it when it comes to our spiritual journey as well. It takes practice, it takes preparation, it takes discipline. Discipline, the same root word as disciple. And so as we are kicking off all of this wonderful stuff here at St. Joseph's, with our choir back in full swing, with our Bible study starting, with our youth group getting organized again, with our Sunday school starting today, all these things, perhaps we need to be reminded, who's our coach? And if Jesus is going to be the one we choose to be our spiritual coach, then are we listening to what he has to say to us? He was pretty clear last week that it's not easy. If you want to be my disciple, pick up your cross daily and follow me. It is not easy. And today's parable, if we put ourselves in that place of being the shepherd or being the woman in the house, there is a striving for perfection that we are called to do as disciples. 99 sheep aren't enough. No, we need to look for the one that's lost. 9 out of 10 coins, not enough. We need to find the one that's lost. And so there is this need for us to continue to strive to be the best that we can be in our spiritual lives. Perfection. I know a little bit about trying to seek it. I was at Motorola for 11 years, and if you remember, Motorola in its heyday was all about Six Sigma quality. And I was asked to start teaching this course to the people in the service side of the business, and I'm not an engineer, I'm not a mathematician, so I really had to bone up on it to understand what the heck this means. Well, in simple terms, it means if you have a million opportunities to do something wrong or right, to be at Six Sigma quality, you can get it wrong 3.4 times. 3.4 out of a million. Now, when we started teaching that course, people would say, you don't have to be that perfect. And of course, the response would be, well, what do you think would be good enough? Well, 99 of 100 is pretty good. It's an A on a test at school. And you'd say, well, if you apply that to airplanes, I would not want to be on that 100th of the 100 airplanes that doesn't make it. So this striving for perfection is important. And my job was to work with people, the customer service type of folks. Now, can you imagine telling them we have to strive a million interactions with a human being that we have? We only want to get it wrong 3.4 times. Now you know why I'm not at Motorola anymore. Another example of this for me is the Gateway Arch in St. Louis, where I grew up. I've told some of you this example before. But when I was growing up in the early 60s, they were building that thing. 630 feet high, the tallest national monument in the United States. And Mom and Dad would haul us into the station wagon, and every Sunday afternoon we'd go down and we would see how they're coming on building this thing. It was fascinating. And they don't build it like this. They build it, they start at the two bases, and they have to build it up to the center. The amazing thing was, is they had a very small possibility for error when they started at the base. If they didn't get it exactly right, when they got up to the top, it wouldn't meet. Do you know what the possibility of error they had at the base of that thing was? 1/64 of an inch. If they'd have erred by that much, can you imagine getting all the way up to the top? Oops. Striving for perfection is important, not only in constructing things physically, but in terms of constructing our spiritual lives. The sports example, I think, is so true for us. So it's hard. It's not easy. It's difficult. But when we turn these parables around, we get the encouragement for why we should strive for that. Because we can look at these parables in Luke 15 with God as the one who is the shepherd, with God who is the one looking for the coin. And if we were to continue in Luke 15, we would have God as the loving father who is just waiting to rush out and to welcome home his prodigal son. This is incredibly encouraging to us because we have a God who never gives up on us. We strive and we fail and we blow it. He's still looking for us as the lost sheep. We go in the wrong direction and we're hidden and we don't feel like our life matters. He's still looking for us as that lost coin. We have a God who continues and continues even to the point of death to reach out and to find us and to help us. The only challenge is this. We have to be somewhere where God can find us. And my friends, this is that place for us. This spiritual home, it is important for us to realize the ways in which God wants to help and reach out and find us. We are getting into season now, and life will get in the way. What I think we need to be reminded of as we start off with all of these activities, you belong here. If you come here sad and find it hard to keep back the tears because you've lost someone dear, you belong here. If you are frightened to death about life and its insecurities, if you find yourself worried about your future and what you're going to do with your life, you belong here. If you come here feeling hurt and out of sorts with the people in your life who mean the most to you and you feel overlooked and unappreciated by them, you belong here. If your faith is wearing thin, if you're really not sure you believe all of this, you belong here. If you carry shame from your past, something you once did that was just so awful, you're tempted to hate yourself for it, you belong here. If you haven't been here for a while, or to any church for a while, or if you find yourself disconnected from the way church is going these days, you belong here. If you're struggling financially, maybe without a job, or you stay home and pretend you're not going out because of all the stuff you have to do when it's really because you can't afford it, you belong here. If you're confused about who you are, what you want from life, what your orientation might be, and it doesn't seem to fit in with the life of the people around you, and you wonder how you could possibly fit into the church, you belong here. If you're lonely, single, and don't want to be, if you feel like you're not very good at relationships, or if you're just feeling down and the horizon seems far away and nothing's changing, you belong here. If you didn't get that job, if that relationship didn't work out, if you flunked that test and all you want to do is crawl into a hole rather than to talk about it, you belong here. Temptation for all of us is that when life begins to happen, the first thing we want to give up is the place where hope can be restored. I urge all of us to step into the light, to stay in the light, and to know that no matter what happens, no matter how lost we might feel, we have a good shepherd, we have a woman God who will keep looking until we are found and brought home. Amen.